Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of God Almighty. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord forevermore. Praise God for His holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, someone praise Him with me. Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Praise God. With the help and grace of God this morning, I want to do part two of the sermon series that I began quite some time back, entitled, What is Going to Happen Next on God's Prophetic Timetable? Can you say amen with me this morning? Before we get into the heart of the message this morning, you can go ahead and put the first scripture up on the board. This morning I want to read a couple of statistics and give you some information on what Israel Prophecy News Magazine has been saying, what Prophecy Watch News Agency has been broadcasting, and then we'll get into the heart of this morning's message, what is going to happen next on God's Prophetic Timetable, Part 2. Now, how many of you know this morning that the rumblings of the Antichrist are on the horizon? We know because of the current events and headline news that we look at every day on our television sets, or whether we're listening to the radio going down the road in our automobile, it seems like nothing but doom and gloom and despair is going on everywhere around us. Of course, we that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord, Savior, and Master, know this morning that by faith we can please God and that we can receive the good news in spite of all of the bad news that's going on in the world. We can receive the good news as we open up the Word of God and read what is in the confines of its pages. Can you say amen with me this morning? We see hurricanes that are going on everywhere. We see a Jewish rabbi, born-again believer. Maybe some of you haven't seen this, but a prophecy that was given way back in 1893 said before the end comes and Jesus comes back and shows up on planet Earth, first of all, to snatch his bride away, in 1893, a born-again Jewish rabbi priest made a statement. He said, when that time would come, the free nation of the world would experience three straight hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico, and that there would be two earthquakes that would take place on the Pacific Northwest. And they've already happened as well. One in California just a few days ago, and one out in, I believe it was Nevada. But the earthquakes have been getting more closer together as far as frequency is concerned for centuries now. We see the birth pains. Again, we see the rumblings of the Antichrist that are on the horizon. But one thing for sure this morning, we are not looking for the Antichrist. We are looking for the Christ. We are not looking for a hole in the ground, as I used to say years ago when I was preaching as an evangelist, to go to some grocery store and buy their special of $4 for $1 pork and beans and go and crawl in a hole somewhere and get ready to die. We're not getting ready to die, saints. We're getting ready to live. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. I'm looking for the time when Jesus comes back. Can you say amen this morning? So in light of all of these current headline news, the Prophecy News Watch, they produced an article not long ago, about 2 months ago, entitled, The United States and North Korea Stand on the Brink of Nuclear War. After, and here's the article, and I quote, after North Korea successfully tested a hydrogen bomb on Sunday, U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mad Dog Mattis warned that the United States is more than capable of the total annihilation of any country on the face of planet Earth. Unfortunately, the North Koreans may have already gotten to the point, he says, where they are capable of doing the same thing. Just a handful, he goes on to say, of North Korean nukes could kill millions of people and render the largest cities in South Korea or Japan completely uninhabitable. And so a nuclear war with North Korea or some other allied nation of North Korea in the world today should be avoided at all costs. Sadly, he goes on to say, global events seem to be relentlessly pulling us in that direction. The article goes on to state, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, a magnitude, watch this, 6.3 earthquake was registered in North Korea recently at the same time that the North Koreans claimed that they conducted a perfect test of a hydrogen bomb. This test was reportedly 10 times more powerful than North Korea's last nuclear test. And the North Koreans are also claiming that this bomb was small enough to be fitted on an intercontinental ballistic missile. Saints, we are living in the latter of the last days. We are living in a time where Jesus said that the world's population over in Israel was going to be reduced to 1/6 before he would come back and save them. That is recorded over in the book of Zechariah. It's recorded in some other minor prophets of the Old Testament as well. The Bible, over 1/3 of the Bible is prophecy. And I want you to know this when I research this. Over 1/3 of the Bible is prophecy. And notice this, that 80% of that is still yet unfulfilled. We have people that are misunderstanding the sequential events that need to take place in this last day, modernistic, contemporary, intellectual age that we live in. Everybody is looking for the rapture of the church to take place, and that is a great thing. But sometimes we use that as an escape route, as a fire escape route. We see the fire coming and we want to go hide somewhere and wait on the Lord. But that's not what the Bible says. It says we are to occupy until He comes. Millions are wondering about the course of events that are getting ready to take place upon planet Earth. Fear is filling the hearts of men that are having heart attacks and women in these last days for fear of the things that are about to show up on planet Earth. And whether the world is on the brink of destruction or not, that is not even a question. Jesus' disciples came and they asked him a question about the end time final events. And this is how Jesus answered them in Matthew 24 and verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, watch this, the disciples came unto him privately, saying three things. Tell us, number one, when shall these things be? Number two, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And number three, and of the end of the world. The end of the world, that thought has been toiled with. It's been played with for so long. But really, if we look at what the scripture says, the Bible said there is going to be world without end. This world that we presently are in right now, one day, according to 2 Peter 3 in verses 8 through 10, is going to burn away, or in other words, it's going to be renovated by fire, but not completely destroyed. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever and never pass away. So God, because of the present earth and present world that will be destroyed and renovated by fire, He sent John to the Isle of Patmos to receive a vision in the book of Revelation that states that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, praise God. And I'm excited about that today because I know that God is not going to leave us comfortless. God is not going to leave us helpless. He has sent the Paraclete. He has sent the Holy Spirit, and He's not only with us, but since the day of Pentecost, He is living on the inside of us. Can somebody say amen? Ever since we've been born again. Now, I want to talk about the things that are going to take place at the end of the age before Jesus comes back and sets up His kingdom here on planet Earth. A lot of the preterists believe that way back in 70 AD, the people that believe, even in dominion theology, some of them, believe today that the rapture is not a reality. They believe that when you see the word rapture and harpazo in the Greek, that it means caught up all right, but they said it's caught up in ecstasy. And one time when I was evangelizing several years ago, I've told this story, I believe, before, that when I was out in Alexandria, Virginia, and I was sharing in two different churches down there. One was a little small church. The other one had about 300 members. Shared the same message in the one with 300 members, and they received it. But when I got to the smaller church, this man had been toiling with some of the Dominion Theology Kingdom Now teachings, which states that there is not going to be a rapture. So I said after the service, can we go to your office, please? So we went to his office, and on his desk as he opened up the door was a cup like a lot of us have in our offices, and it was full of pens, it was full of pencils and things such as this. And laying beside of that on the desk was a pair of scissors. And I told the man, I said, why don't you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 13 through 18. And when you're done there, go to 1 Corinthians 15 verses 51 through 54 and cut out those two pages because you said you don't believe in the rapture. Let me tell you, there is going to be a rapture one of these days. One of these days, the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, the church is going to remain on this earth until the Holy Spirit is taken out, and when the Holy Spirit is taken out of this earth inside of the body of the believers, and we're taken away, and we're taken to seat with Christ for 7 years at the marriage supper of the Lamb, there's going to be 7 literal years of cataclysmic judgment that is going to take place here on planet Earth. And that's what Jesus was talking about when the disciples came and asked those 3 questions. There is going to be a catching away of the bride. There is going to be a catching away where we're going to be snatched out of here. And harpazo means to be caught up in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. You better get ready because He said, I'm coming like a thief in the night. Hallelujah. Let me talk to you about some of these things that are going to take place before the Lord comes back and takes His people out of here. Number one, the world is about to fall apart. If you'll put the next scriptures up on the board. The Apostle Paul warned in the last days, perilous or dangerous times are going to come. And here's what he describes in 2 Timothy 3 and verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3 and verses 1 through 5. Read it together with me, please. This know also that in the last days, perilous or dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now watch this. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then in verse number 5. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 5. Having a form of godliness. Here's the conjunctive. So what's its function? But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We have a former church member that used to come here, that will not make mention of names, but has fallen into the hands of a cult over in China. And it's the church of Almighty God, which is a church that states that Father God or Jehovah God or Yahweh God was one dispensation of the fullness of time. The second dispensation is that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh in the second dispensation of the fullness of time. But the third and final quote-unquote pole, or the third and final quote, reformation, would see that a woman who has been born in China and is living there today is the promised Messiah. Jesus said when they would say that I'm over there or I'm over there, you do not believe it because that is false teaching and it does not line up with what the Word of God says. So in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, these parallel accounts talk about the Olivet prophecy or the Olivet discord that is also mentioned in the book of Daniel. In Revelation chapter 6, precisely it parallels where we find the cataclysmic judgments of God that are going to take place through the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials. Those have not taken place yet. But a lot of people are trying to put it somewhere over already in the middle of the tribulation period. Whether you believe in pre-tribulation rapture, mid or post, it doesn't matter. When Jesus says, ready or not, here I come, you better be ready to meet him. Can you say amen? And then the second thing that I want to talk about are the condition. That's a sequence that points us toward the coming of the Lord is in Matthew 24. If you'll put that on the board, verses 4 and 5. Talks about where the spirit of Antichrist, this is my label, and false Christianity that is growing worse and worse every day. Matthew 24 and verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. The word heed means in the Greek, take every precautionary measure so that man cannot deceive you. For many shall come, not all, but many shall come in my name, like this woman now over in China saying, I am Christ, and shall, watch this, not deceive all, but shall deceive many. Because the all should be in the Word of God. Many are not in the Word of God, only some are in the Word of God. Can you say amen? Read verse 5 again. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. As I was praying, I asked the Lord for interpretation, and Jesus told me this, and I believe this with all of my heart. He says, I went straight to the problem to tell them that there would be a problem that would exist, that there would be many deceivers at work in those times, so that their eyes would be taken off of me, the God of the Bible. He said, Christ warned and said, tell them that many would be deceived by those claiming to represent him, not the few. Many would be deceived, but not the few. The few, there's many that are called, but there's few that are chosen. Come on, somebody. The few that are chosen are the ones that will not take their eye off the Word of God, no matter who's standing behind the pulpit and who's preaching the Word of God. That's what he said. Now, number three, we're quickly getting through here. In Matthew 24 and verses 6 and 7, I put down that wars and rumors of wars are escalating at a rapid pace. Can you say amen? And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. In other words, he's talking about a generation when these things begin to take place. We are that generation. And when verse 7 talks about this, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers or different kinds of places. We're talking about diseases, and I'll be talking about that in just a moment's time, whether it's famines that are going to take place upon planet Earth, and they're going to be widespread famines, where when I used to be one of the managers of a large grocery store, we had so much stock on the shelves that we had people come in and say, You need to remove some of that stock off the shelves because every time I come by, if I bump the shelf, it falls out on my foot. So I said, well, I'm sure we can do that, ma'am or sir or whatever. But there's going to come a time when people will wish there was that much stock on the shelves. If you have seen the local news or the international news of people that have feared for their lives, they've went, those that are staying, the idiots, the knuckleheads, that are staying after they've been warned to evacuate, which, by the way, when you're warned to evacuate and you don't go, whether you don't go or not, it's still a felony. Did you know that? It's a felony, and you could be arrested for that. But there's a lot of people that commit felonies, some more than others. Others want more added to their list so they can be proud, you know. Have a little star sticker placed on their forehead and say, look at me, I've got more felonies than you. But we are living in the latter days of the last days. And wars, again, are escalating at a very, very high or rapid pace. And this is what I put down. Only in this modernistic, contemporary, intellectual age that we live in have we seen weapons of mass destruction like have never been made available to man before. The 20th century saw two of the most devastating wars in history, World War I and World War II. Of course, World War II being the greater one, and the lives that were lost were on a magnitude scale. Number four, great famine shall arise in the land. And this is what I put down. The pattern of history is that famine always follows war. And we know that to be true. Famine always follows war. One more time, famine always follows war. During the times of war, people are given jobs because the men and the women of the country have to go to war. So they open up these factories or already have factories where they've lost a lot of people. So people have to come in and fill up those spots so the businesses won't decay and fall apart. And while these men are at war, people have jobs. And then more jobs were created during World War II to make the greater mass weapons of destruction, the ploys to destroy the enemy. And so factories were made for this. And we see all of this taking place in this latter modernistic age that we live in because we are getting closer to the coming of Jesus. And when that happens, the Bible said, we need to look up and lift up our heads for our redemption draweth nigh. Can you say amen? We're closer today than we've ever been before. Tomorrow we can say that. Prophetically, we can say that Jesus has been in our next Tuesday. Hallelujah. Prophetically, we can say, I'm not worried about what's coming on the face of the earth because I have a seal that's a new name that's written down in my forehead and nothing by any means can destroy me. So when we see in Matthew 24 and verse number 7 that we just read, it talked about famines in the last day before the return of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 6 and verses 5 and 6, watch this. I put this down. And when he had opened up the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. In verse number 6, watch this. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou that you do not hurt the oil and the wine. In other words, modern day translation of this would say, a day's wages earned to pay for a loaf of bread. How sad is that? When we'll get to that place in history. But you know something? We've never had a problem with trusting God to provide. Whether we would go through the mid part of the, or the first 3.5 years or whatever, it wouldn't even matter if we would go through the whole tribulation period. And I don't believe we will. But I believe when the wrath begins to really start to take place in sequence is at the beginning of the second half at the 3.5 year mark. That's when the wrath starts right before that. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's when that starts. And I'm not saying that I believe that or not. But I'm saying that it doesn't matter what we go through, God has always provided for his people. Psalm 37, verse 25, David said, I've been young and I'm now old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Can you say amen? Listen to this statistic in my research when I was searching out some statistics. In my research, I found out that around 24,000 people on planet Earth starve to death every day, with this number steadily rising. 24,000. Not that are starving, that are starving to death. In other words, they die on a worldwide scale. There's no sense in that. That's nonsense. We have the ability here to provide and to send food to other nations, and so do other nations that are prospering well. It's that the nations that receive them, a few years ago, I was getting ready to go into Zimbabwe, Africa, and had a trip all planned there. And the president of that country, I got a meeting established and set up with a few other people and myself and the president of that country. So I went out and I got the sword. I bought this sword and I was going to take it over and give it to the president of the country. And the elections were going on at the time, and the president of the country ended up losing the election against a young incumbent that was coming up. And all of a sudden he said, well, I demand a recount. No, I demand another election. So they demanded another election. And in 2 months between the time of the old election and the new election that was about to come up, the young incumbent got his head sent home on a platter. And so I'm like, man, I better not take this sword with me when I go to Zimbabwe, Africa, to meet with the president of the country. Amen. You can call me John. John the Baptist. Amen. And so, in the meantime, the trip over there, praise God, got canceled. And I didn't have to meet with the president of the country. Didn't have to meet with the group that was going with me. And all along, I had an uneasiness that was going on about this trip. And I said to the Lord, you told me that I'd be going to Africa in a few months. And lo and behold, in the month of March, I spoke at a pastor's conference in Dillon in Florence, South Carolina. And while we went to a lady's house to have fried chicken and okra and greens and some cornbread, you know, while we were sitting there getting ready to sit down, a man that was standing right beside of me at the refrigerator, of course, in the kitchen, looks over at me and says, are you Prophet Tim? I wanted to say, who wants to know? You know? But I said, yes, sir. And he said, I've been looking for you. He says, I couldn't wait to get over here. I'm from Cape Town, South Africa. And I want to know if you'll come over and hold me a crusade. Now, you tell me, when God speaks, the people should listen. And just in about 6 weeks' time afterwards, I was over in Cape Town, South Africa, and in Manenberg, South Africa, holding crusades with people giving their lives to the Lord and lives being changed. People, get your ears open and your eyes open. Listen and look at what God is about ready to do, because there's a shifting that's going to happen in your life soon. I'm prophetically speaking, because of where we're at on God's prophetic timetable, God is about ready to send some of us to some other nations. If you're open for that and you want to go and you do not have a fear of what God is going to do as He takes you to these other nations, then get your heart ready and get your suitcase packed, because the kingdom finances are about to show up in your mailbox. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Fifthly, the gospel of the truth shall be preached in all of the world. Then Jesus is going to come. Matthew 24:14. The Bible says, and this gospel, notice what it said. How do you get out of this gospel? By following voices that are out in the world that don't line up with this gospel. That's why if you stay in the Word of God, you stay in the will of God. Paul said in Galatians 1:5, I marvel that you are so soon removed from this gospel unto another, which is not another. If any man receive another gospel, let him be anathema in the Greek. Let him be cursed. This is the gospel. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Where? All the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall what? What end is he talking about? The end of the world? No, the end of the age. The end of the age where Jesus comes back and takes us out of here before he sets up his kingdom 7 literal years later in Jerusalem. When he comes down upon the Mount of Olives, he doesn't catch a cab ride over there either. Amen. Praise God. He just says, I'm going to be there and I'm there. He goes over where the Eastern Gate's at, opens it up, makes a left-hand turn, and goes and sits upon the throne of his father David, and rules in a theocratic government with a rod of iron throughout eternity and in the millennium for 1,000 years. How many of you ever wanted the devil to shut up? Well, the Bible says that there's angels, 2 angels come down with the key to the bottomless pit. And they put the devil there, that old serpent, it says in the scriptures, the accuser of the brethren, shut him up for 1,000 years and swallow the key. Amen. Before he's able to be loosed. 1,000 literal years of peace here on planet Earth. And then one last scripture in Ezekiel 33 and verses 7 through 9. Say it with me. Ezekiel 33 and verses 7 through 9. Here's your job. So thou, O son of man, reading from the King James Version, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, the prophet is saying. Hear the word of the prophet. 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So watch that. I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, when you see the word therefore, what is it? Therefore. Thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Watch this now as we continue to read. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Who's thine? Us. We're the watchmen. Watch this as we move on. Watch this again. Watch this again. Watch this again. Watch this. The very, very last part B of the scripture. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Now watch this. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Before that, nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. There's something that happens when we make the choice to warn. You'll stop worrying about them. Because it's not your job to save them. It's your job to warn them. When you release the warning, you sound the trumpet, something gets ready to take place. They're about to hear, maybe for the first time in their life, what the Spirit of the Lord is going to say to them. Wicked man, flee from the wrath of God to come. What is going to happen next? On God's prophetic timetable, as the calamities begin to happen, the cataclysmic judgments begin to unfold, which I believe we are receiving and seeing preliminaries of it right now. Somebody said, well, don't get God and the devil confused of what's going on in the atmosphere, because the devil's in hell. No, he's not. When the devil was cast out of heaven, he was cast down as lightning falling to the ground, and Jesus saw him. He has become the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. You're disobedient on a regular basis. You can't seem to get victory. You're either going to have 2 choices. You're either going to go to hell or you're coming to the deliverance service in November and get set free. Amen. What's next on God's prophetic timetable? Stay tuned over the next couple of months. Watch headline news, Fox News. Watch the credible news resource agencies tell you about what's going to happen. And it will not put fear in your heart when you're saved. It'll get you excited and ready for the coming of Jesus. Could we stand this morning? Thank you, Father.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."